very awesome with me today.
Just make it a Miller Lite. That's his favorite.
Or Milwaukee's best.
Oh, the Beast. He loves the Beast, too.
Oh, God. The Beast?
Doesn't everyone love the Beast?
No.
Oh, no, I'm totally allowing that.
Well, y'all are moderators. Turn all that off. Let everybody say where they want. I don't give a crap.
It just pops up, hey, allow, and I'm like, hell yeah, I'm allowing that.
Yeah, allow everything. Who cares? I don't care if there's a chat. If y'all both have moderation, go in there and change it where everybody can say where the hell they want.
All right. So, hey, welcome to episode one, everyone.
Yes. If you did not know, this is our episode one. So every record is going to be a new record, as Seth says. So every new record we do... Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, it must have been something. I may have to get a new headset.
Yeah, that's why I switched from that head. I own that exact headset. That's why I switched to it, to the actual corded all the time one, just because I was having problems.
I'm going to have to switch it just to just do it anyway. Other than that, it's the first one. Welcome to More Than Dice. Of course, my name is Gonzo. Up in my right-hand corner, with a brush in his mouth, is my man Seth.
Two brushes.
He's styling and profiling today.
One brush isn't enough. You better bring two.
So, can you paint like that?
Like this?
Yeah.
I need more brushes. I usually use two.
So, crazy. And below him is our ever, ever, ever awesome John Spencer.
Hello.
Go back, Charlton Heston. No, we do not have a theme song yet. We are still working on it. One, we have to find someone that can do it. Two, if they're gonna pay it, make us pay for it. Three, whether we have to pimp out Seth to get the money or not. And that's the thing.
I feel like I'm getting pimped out a lot lately. Is that why I'm really on this show? Is that what's actually happening here?
Shh, Gonzo, you weren't supposed to tell anyone.
Oh, well, okay, yes. We are going to be working on some theme music. We want to find, of course, the right type of theme music for us. We also want
Which
to find...
Which is not me singing.
Oh, yes, but we did say that you were going to sing a little bit today, right?
No. That is pre-ramble. That's patron only. You got to pay for that shit.
So, if you would like to hear John Spencer sing, you got to be... You got to have the ability to get the pre-ramble. And, let's say, you know, we are working up on the Patreon, so everybody can get stuff. We're working on some cool stuff for our patrons also. Seth has sworn that he will paint up an entire army for someone for a measly $3 a month.
What?
Wow. That's a little crazy.
Now, we are cheap here. But, other than that, we actually did get quite a few... questions, and I hope that everybody that's asked these questions are here so they can have them live.
And if not, hopefully you're listening on the recorded version or watching on Facebook.
Correct. We will have everything put up as quick as we can. We will have it on YouTube, Twitch, everywhere we can get it. We can have it for everybody. Other than that, who's going to start off?
We're going right into questions. Let me start us off.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's go. Well, anybody got anything you want to say about this weekend, this week? Anything awesome?
Playing Malifaux is awesome.
Drinking a lot of alcohol. Oh, sorry. Getting a new job is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Well, very awesome. But yeah, and I guess we should talk about our alcohol because we are telling people to drink up and have fun. So,
yeah,
Seth, what are you going to have today?
Tonight, I am having a victory drink for my move to Virginia. I have found out that my local bottle shop carries Sweet Baby Jesus. I am a happy man. Chocolate awesome. Peanut butter porter. I also have Sweet Baby Java, which is an espresso chocolate peanut butter porter. That's for breakfast.
You're going to have to bring some of that to War Machine Weekend, because that sounds really good.
Breakfast. Ugh. Ugh.
John, what is your drink for the day is?
Oh, I'm going to start off with a shot of Loconut, Captain Morgan Coconut Rum, and then followed up with a classic from the olden days, a Force Blow.
Oh, a Force Blow.
Which, if you don't know, for new listeners, that is Kraken and orange juice. It was very tasty.
Okay. Let's see. Mine today, I'm going to start off with a shot of good old Maker's Mark.
Of course.
Of course. I'm going to chase that down with a vanilla porter. And also a cheesecake shake from Sonic.
You're all over the place.
So, we are definitely all over the place. So, we will have to figure out a new toast. But for now, I guess you just say, hey, happy first episode.
Cheers.
To tonight's new record.
Almost want me to spit out my drink. Huh? Jesus.
Like, dude, I moved cross country. I have had a tremendous amount of liquid courage this week. I'm on fire.
I'll be honest. Before the last episode of Penguin with John, I bought an entire bottle of Kraken. There is that much left in the bottom. I may have a problem.
You know what?
The problem is I'm almost out of Kraken.
We forgot to actually say, you know, what we do.
What we're going to talk about? Intro? Good Lord. Yes, we did. Well, I'd always thought we were going to record like a recorded-only one with our test that was going to be us introducing ourselves and talking what we're going to talk about, which we could still do later, but we should definitely introduce ourselves to anyone new.
Correct. And I will let you go first on that since you're the old man of the podcast since I'm just kind of new to this.
Oh, for the love of God, really?
I love you. Yes,
first. How am I the old man?
You're the old man. You've been doing this longer than I have.
Oh, that in that case, yeah, fair enough. How about something? Jesus. All right, my name is John Spencer. You may have heard of me from a little podcast called Penguin with Metal John that recently ended. I've only been playing War Machine since about when Minions came out, 2010-ish, I think that was. But it really was 7 years, but so I'm relatively in the grand scheme of War Machine new, Mark II on. But I have a long and varied wargaming and miniature gaming and board gaming and role playing history of back to the heady times of the 80s and all. I have worked in every aspect of the gaming industry from retail store all the way up to distributor. But now I don't do any of that because they don't pay enough.
What? The gaming industry doesn't pay enough?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I don't want to despair. Just not bad, but you get a little less than the industry standard, but the people are always great. I can honestly say I've worked with so many good people at all the places I worked at in the gaming industry. And on the podcast, I am going to be sort of the random game and non-competitive, more of a casual slash story guy, you know, talking about more casual aspects of games. That's not to say I don't necessarily play competitively, but I do so considerably less than our competitive expert, which is Gonzo.
The what?
How about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Gonzo. I have actually been gaming for a long time. And I've been playing War Machine since Mark I, when all we had were battle boxes. Took a break for a little bit, came back, started playing again. I play a little bit more competitively than my co-hosts. So that's going to be my thing, is I'm going to be taking on the competitive aspects of pretty much any game we talk about, not just War Machine, because we're going to be talking about other games, 40K, Malifaux, whatever. And I'll also be trying to take on all the convention stuff. I'll be the reporter on the scene on things. And I think the first one we're going to be reporting on is I will probably set up something for recruits, which I'm not sure if I'll be back on Sunday for that or not. But that'll be coming up, and I'll be reporting on that. And doesn't mean that I'm a really good competitive player. Just means I like to go and play competitively. I actually suck competitively, but I like playing in the competitive scene, and I know a lot of competitive players, so that's kind of mine. Unlike my other cohort, I suck at painting, but my boy Seth, he wins awards and makes a shit ton of money. That's the reason we got to move for free.
I feel like you keep adding things to what I've done. Hey, everybody. Side Hustle Seth here. So, I've been gaming in multiple ways since I was like, I don't know, before stars existed in the sky. Everything from role-playing games to strategy games, and getting into board games a little bit more. About 5 years ago, I went from painting miniatures for fun to trying to get really into the competitive scene, and have had some success at that. The last couple of War Machine Weekends, I've done okay. Last year, I actually won War Machine Weekends Master Craftsman Award for the best piece. And then this past year, I also went to Crystal Brush, which is one of the most prestigious painting competitions in the U.S., and got through the judges' selection to online competition, which was quite the achievement. For last year, I've also been mostly sustaining myself as a professional painter, doing pieces for other people, though I'm excited that I'll be returning to my real profession this year and going back to teaching high school English here in Virginia.
Awesome.
So, I'm your hobby guy.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Which we will be bringing on. We've got quite a few guests lined up. We've got a lot of hobby guests. We've got a lot of painting guests. We got competitive guests. We've got industry people that are already said that, yeah, they wouldn't mind doing it.
Nice.
So we've got a lot of things lined up. If there is something that you do want to see on the podcast, that is going to be our next question and next thing is that we're going to put up on the podcast Facebook page is, what do you want to see from us? Our slogan is gaming from all sides of the tabletop for a reason. And we believe every aspect is very much part of who and what we are. So look out for that question at the end of the podcast, and we'll put it up. Other than that, whoever's got first questions, go for it.
All right, we'll start off. Greg Webster asked us, what is your favorite board game? Gonzo, hit that up.
Ooh, lately? Dead of Winter has been my favorite board game lately.
That one looks cool.
It's a really good zombie survival game because it provides not only you got to survive as a group, but you can also screw your compatriots over and, like, take away supplies. That's been a really good, fun, cooperative with a bang board game for me. So yeah. I really like that a lot.
Seth, what's your favorite board game?
I'm still new to a lot of the games, but I've been really enjoying Blood Rage because the mechanic of the gods creating different win conditions means that every time you sit down to play, even though the pieces are the same and you sort of know what's going to happen, you have a very different game.
That is sweet. That sounds super cool. I've not had a chance to play that one yet. Actually, I don't even get a chance to play too many board games right now. It's usually we'll play it and then go on to something else. So I play a lot of one-offs. So instead of trying to rack my brain for what my favorite is, because I've played a ton, because my family was really into board games when I was younger, too. I'll instead go with the one I will always try and make time to play, and that is Advanced Civilization. And that's super fun. It's not for everyone. It is a long... That's one of those ones where they invite you over and you're like, I'm going to take a day and we're going to play a game of Advanced Civilization. The whole point is not to kill each other. It's to make your civilizations more advanced. Spread across the land and become more advanced with stuff like pottery and writing and shit. In fact, the early time of they taught me how to play the game, they're like, John, this is not a war game. You don't win by killing people. So what? I win by killing people. It's a fine art. You got to find just the right niche. But no, that's a super fun game, but definitely very intensive. Cool. All right. Next, Nick Hoosman asks, what do you think is more important, gameplay or community? Well, I think we're all going to have the same answer for this one. Gonzo?
And this is one of my local guys. And he's a very good competitive player and a really smart guy. He's like my human calculator. And you know what? For me, community is the most important thing. You could have the best game in the world, but if you have a shitty community, the game's shitty. And that's kind of the reason why I think a lot of people have stuck with a lot of different communities. And I think that's the reason why I also think the War Machine community, or War Machine game community is the best, because I think we have the best community about all of them. I mean, it is incredible the amount of respect and love I've felt from the War Machine community.
I'm going to go with...
Go ahead, Beth.
I have to mirror that. I have to say community. Gameplay comes in a very close second, that if you've got a bad game, that can break down the community, but if the rules are even reasonably passable, it's the community that keeps us going, keeps us playing.
Absolutely. I can't add anything more that you guys haven't said. Community is most important. Look at all the quote-unquote dead games that were kept alive by their community. I mean, all you need is some guys to play a game, and you can keep a game going forever.
Yep.
All right. Next one is Gary Smith, who's got a slightly longer one. He says, as a parent, I have little time to hobby and play. I have so many games I genuinely enjoy or that I am looking forward to playing. In a crunch when time is scarce over a long period of time, how do you prioritize? Oof. That's a tough one. I don't think any of us have children.
I do.
Seth does.
Oh, shit.
I definitely
Seth, I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, mine's in college, so.
Oh, doesn't count anymore.
That's slightly
not
different.
Not anymore, but I dealt with this problem. When your kids are little, nap time is a good time. If you've got a traditional household where you're out working all day and you come home and do stuff with the kids, I can see what you're saying. There is a period which I had to totally give up hobbying and I could play some video games, and that was about it. But once kids get to ages where they're a little bit more independent, they get to like kindergarten age, they start going to school, their schedule becomes a little bit more predictable. Bedtime ritual for me became read my daughter a story, get her in bed, break out the paints.
Cool.
I can't answer that, but maybe work, because I don't have kids. But you got to find some time for yourself, no matter what.
Yeah, I know my locals who have that problem. They'll do a little bit where, on a Saturday, the one parent will get the morning free to go play games, and then come back so that the other parent can have the night free to do whatever they want. And they might switch back and forth. So, you know, we might have something where one of our guys is like, okay, show up early, I got time for a game, and then I got to go back to take care of the kids. So, that seems to have worked. Seems pretty fair. And, I mean, hopefully you find something that works for you, because it's not easy. Many, many gamers have fallen prey to the children making it impossible to game.
Rule number one, don't have kids.
As a parent, I support that.
All right. Well, Dane Ledich asks, what are the best and worst parts of your favorite games? You want to start, Gonzo?
Yeah.
Or you want more time?
No, I can deal with this. I'm going to go ahead and start with playing War Machine. That's the game that I'm playing all the time, or most of the time. The best part of the War Machine is the community. That's where I've met most of my friends. And long-term, really good friends. The worst part of it? Some of the competitive natures of it. Sometimes it gets way out of hand. And some people take the game way too serious. But that's the nature of the game.
Truth.
How about you, John?
For me, I will say quite the same. I'm not even going to say what game it's for. For the majority of the games I'm interested in, community is the best part. And then the worst part is competitiveness. It's a big problem in the gaming industry right now is competitiveness. People do stuff they wouldn't have done to win. And it is unfortunate. Seth, what do you think?
I'm right there with you about all those things. I just want to say one thing that's different, just to throw it out. I think the best part is definitely the community that can build up. I think the worst part is when you have games that are designed to work against that community. not just in the competitive sense, but I've played some games with betrayal mechanics where people walked out with hurt feelings. And they were just playing by the rules, and it was a little too intense, a little too much.
Yeah, any game with a negative play experience or NPE is definitely a problem. You need to work to avoid those in games and in gaming. Sometimes we have to do it ourselves, which seems uncool. I mean, but especially in a casual format, you have to work to avoid that because in a competitive format, as Gonzo will tell you, if it's in the rule book and it's legal, do it because that's what you signed up for. But in a pickup game or a friendly game, you got to think about that shit. Sometimes I know our local henchman from Alpha likes to go, I could do this, but I'm not going to because that would make this game unfun. I just want to let you know this is a rule that's in the game, so you need to be aware of it if you ever play competitively, but I'm going to do the fun thing instead, which is always the right call to do the fun thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing that we always say is you can always be competitive and you can always win. You just don't have to be a douche when you do it. That's a kicker.
Absolutely. Wheaton's Law. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna throw a curveball at Seth here since I know he keeps a track of this. I got a question for the chat room.
What?
Legionnaires wants to know, what is the benefit of a well / dry palate over a wet palate?
So, a well palate, for those of you who are wondering, is one of these guys. It's the traditional palate where you have little holes, divots. These are the wells. And the benefit of a well palette is you can really control the consistency of your paint. So if you're working with slightly thicker paint when you're two-brush blending, or right now I'm working on this Retribution Guardian model and I'm doing the metals, which means I'm doing some wet into wet blending, it's better to work with slightly thicker paints. The challenge with it is that they dry out faster. I'm also doing this partly because, having just moved to the south, I'm finding out what the humidity was like here. That is Chicago. And for those of you who wonder what I'm talking about, Chicago used to be a swamp, and the weather is still pretty swampy. A wet palette is a tray with a sponge and a piece of paper on top, usually parchment paper, but a lot of companies make wet palette paper. And what happens is that you put water in the sponge, drain the majority of it, and it keeps that paper damp, which allows you to keep your paint wet for a longer period. The downside is that you can very quickly lose control of how thick and thin the paint is. If you're doing a lot of glazing, or you know that you're going to be working on something over a long period of time, the wet palette can really work for you, but it's just a matter of what techniques you're using at the time.
Boom. That's why he's the expert.
Boom. It's like I talk for a living.
That too, actually. All right. Well, Chris Johnson wants to know, what are each of your top casual / beer and pretzel games, competitive strategy games, deck building game, and the game you're most excited that's on the horizon? Holy crap, that's a big one. So let's hit it up quickly. Favorite casual beer and pretzel game, go Gonzo.
Beer and pretzel game?
Yes.
Cards Against Humanity.
God, shit. I'm going to think of something different just to be just to keep it in. So, Seth, you're going to have to go second because I got to think on the fly now.
Beer and pretzels?
Yes.
Curses. It's a kind of unpopular but awesome party game where you've got two decks of cards and a bell. One deck of cards is stupid dares. If you do a dare, you get to pick up a curse and give it to somebody, and then they have to do it. And the curse deck says things like, if somebody says your name, you have to bark like a dog. If you don't do it, somebody rings the bell in the center of the table, you flip it over, last person standing, you win the game. But a lot of the curse cards play off of each other. So one card might say, if they say your name, bark like a dog. Another person has one that says, if somebody barks like a dog, you pretend there's an earthquake. If somebody pretends there's an earthquake. And it just gets really fun really fast. Great to play with people, especially a couple drinks in.
That sounds like it. Since Gonzo stole mine, I'm going to go with Choking Hazard. which is sort of similar in vein to Cards Against Humanity, just with comic strip cards from, I think it was Cyanide and Happiness did theirs. It's super fun. If you like Cards Against Humanity, you will love Joking Hazard. It's very, very similar. Part two is competitive strategy game. Gonzo, I think I know the answer.
War Machine. 100%.
War Machine.
War Machine.
Yeah, War Machine. They do it better than the rest, honestly.
Yeah.
Though, I would say that Malifaux is a very close second, because its tournament structure is pretty decent, but not as varied, and the community is not necessarily as cool. Deck building game, Gonzo.
I really don't. I guess it would have to be Legendary. I don't play a lot of deck building games.
That's fair.
But Legendary, I've played the Marvel Legendary game by Upper Deck.
Yeah, that
I like
one
that.
That one looks really cool.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. I'm going to say Star Realms. Star Realms is super duper fun. If you want to get a taste of it, you can get an app for free. It's on iOS. It's on, I don't know if it's on Android, but it's also on Steam. It is inherently free with just the basic deck that you'd buy, and you can get a lot of play out of that, and then expansions and such. And they have a Kickstarter running right now for their latest version. The company's good. They also make Hero Realms, just like the same thing with Fantasy Dudes, but I have not played that one yet. And then the game you're most excited about that's on the horizon, Gonzo.
It's actually a new MMO coming out for a computer. It's called Ashes of Creation, I think is what it is. Ashes of Creation. Ashes of Creation. It's a new MMO come out. They have a lot of cool little things. I backed their Kickstarter. They made a crap ton of money for it. Added a lot of cool things. It's just got a lot of cool things, and I've been dying for a really good MMO in a long time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fair enough. Seth, what are you looking forward to?
Not living out of boxes. I'll pass.
That's fair. It's hard to look at games upcoming when you're looking at unpacking a ton of shit.
Yeah.
I am actually looking forward to Mark II of... my brain just stopped again. Relic Knights. I really enjoyed the idea of Mark I. It seemed like an interesting cross between sort of an anime style with sort of a almost Malifaux-like rules. Just no numbers, just auto-go. And very interested to see how Mark II turns out. I kickstarted it, of course. And their rules updates through Kickstarter have been very cool and very... I mean, they revamped a ton of stuff just through people's suggestions, so it's very cool to see that design process have a lot of feedback, so I'm waiting patiently for that. Alright. Next is Congo the Drummagun asked, so when do we sacrifice to the dark gods of dice?
Every day of every minute of every year.
Wow. That's a lot.
They require a lot of sacrifices.
Seth?
I was going to say when you need that easy three to win the game. Because that's when you roll snake eyes.
Yes.
That's when I lose sometimes because I don't sacrifice to the dark gods. I would say whenever your luck goes to absolute crap, then it's time to do your sacrifice. I had a hand last night in Malifaux that was literally, and it's numbers, 113 cards. I had a Black Joker, which is zero. I had two ones, two twos, and a three. I'm like, you, spectator, hold my hand. I'm not cheating this turn because that's shit. I think I need to do a sacrifice. That would have been a good time for one. All right. Jesse Carmack asks, how to get more of a friendly game night to grow the player community? Ooh, this is a good one. Gonzo.
I would say do a lot of hosting and tell a lot of people and make it fun. Nobody likes to go to grow in a community where one guy whoops the shit out of everybody and beats the crap out of everybody consistently with a bad attitude. Also, go there expecting what you want to expect. Go, hey, I want to learn how to play in a tournament. Okay. I just want to play casually, guys. I got this weird, funky list I want to play. Can you not play your badass 1B assassination army? Awesome. And I think that's grow. That would help grow it a lot.
Yeah. Seth?
One of the things that my previous FLGS did that was awesome is that there were a few guys who, on the casual game night, at the end, they would just go out and get burritos. And it seems like such a simple thing, but go do something other than kick each other's ass in the game. Mm. It'll make you want to see people more.
The post-gaming meal is a tradition that everyone should follow. It's not post-gaming. Every Saturday, my entire local crew, those of us who are tight, go out and just have dinner, have lunch at the same place. Just take over a row of tables and have some good barbecue and just chat and have a good time. The Infinity guys do that. They go to the same place after every tournament. They're like, we're all going together. Hopefully you all come and we go to the same place and just have dinner together. It's great. I cannot say enough good things about it. But my actual answer would be to, although I really like Seth's, I didn't even think of it that way, is to run some sort of campaign or something that gets everyone involved. I'm doing two Smalfo Slow Grower Leagues, one I'm running, one I'm playing in, or anything like that. When War Machine does their campaign, because it's not all super serious, jump in that, have a little fun. Just give people a reason to show up and play games together, and you'll find, you know, you give them a little reason, a little bit of narrative, or a little bit of enticement. I ran, back in the day, I ran a Necromunda campaign at the GW Battle Bunker, and people just, like, were waiting for Friday to come play Necromunda, because every week I'd post a new little blurb on the bulletin board, would have a couple special rules, maybe. Once a month, I'd go, like, alright, here, we're going to have a cool narrative scenario that I totally didn't make up on the fly.
Yes, I did.
And they had a great time. Sometimes they'd be like, did you plan on a Saturday? Like, John, come over and this is the terrain we've got. Make us some special rules for terrain. And a lot of cool things happen like that. There's little things like that you can do, especially if you're the organizer. It does involve you being a little more detached from playing. But as long as it's only a night a week, you can usually do that. Just make sure you've got another time to go play. That's why we got the two slow grower leagues from Alipho. I'm running one so that if the henchmen down in Annapolis can come up and play with us and not have to worry about anything. So that's super cool. But I definitely suggest that. Next, Jason Kennedy, what follow and which systems do you wish would gain more attention? And then are historical games like Blood and Plunder on your list of games you want to try? Let's do the second one first. Are you guys interested in historical games like Blood and Plunder or things like that? Gonzo.
No. I don't like to recreate historical battles. It's just not my thing. I am more about the fantasy. Sci-fi.
Well, Blood and Plunder is at least pirates fighting each other.
Yeah, no.
Fair enough. Seth?
No.
Nope.
I am also tragically a nope. I find if I want to do historical recreations, I'll just play some Squad Leader with my cousin, also named John, and have a good time with that. To the main part of the question, I would call it, is what miniature game outside of PP or GW do you think has the biggest following, and which system do you wish would gain more attention? I'm going to throw a curveball. Seth?
I think Wrath of Kings. Not only the model's really good and well put together, but everything I hear about the rules is very solid, and that it may be what's coming up very closely behind PP as far as rules balance, variety of play, really flavorful factions.
Word. Gonzo, what you got?
I'm the same thing. I've always liked Wrath of Kings. I think that the reason why it's not doing so well is they don't push out a lot of advertisement or everything else for it, and they really don't seem to really want to, because I guess their other game is gaining more ground. Was it Dark Ages? They want to push that more.
Oh, they do Dark Age too? Yeah, that's yeah. Actually gaining some ground locally.
Yeah. And I think Wrath of Kings would do a lot better. And it could grab a bigger market. It's got incredible miniatures. Rules are very cool. Alternating units when you play, and alternating tactics. You know, when certain things join up, You can actually, you know, different their tournament scene, and their tournament packet's really good. So it's got something there. It's just nobody wants to grab a hold of it. And I think it's because there's so many games out there right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately their Kickstarter hit at a bad time. It was like just after a couple other big ones, so people were sort of like tapped out and not looking so much at that one.
Yeah.
I would say the one that I think has the most following, it's probably a toss-up between Malifaux and Infinity. Those are the ones I see everywhere, people playing. I would say probably Malifaux has the edge up on number of people playing it. But Infinity definitely has been, I mean, it has the most steady growth of any game I've seen. A couple more years, I think it'll be really big and really common.
Yeah, Infinity is actually, I have a guy lined up that will do some Infinity stuff for us. And he's pretty big into it, and he's a pretty big person within the Infinity community. I think that the one of the reasons why Infinity doesn't get big around certain places is how much terrain you have to have.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they've done a good job of making their terrain sets out of their basic boxes, and that you can buy separately is perfectly functional, and you can make a good table out of it.
Yes.
You'd want to support it with other stuff, but I mean, they've done it so you can do it on the cheap, so to speak.
Yes,
it does have the disadvantage of not being able to use the cheap flat terrain that most other games can use to good effect.
Correct.
All right, let's see what we're doing. Rolling out. It's almost time for there. All right, what do you see as the future of wargaming? Continuing the direction of balancing errata or something else? From Brian Culp. Gonzo, what do you think?
There's going to have to be balancing. Right now, War Machine and Hordes is the most competitive game out there. And they have a hard time keeping things, and I don't want to say balanced, because you can't have a balanced game.
That's a fallacy. Yeah,
you can't have a balanced game, but you have to have a way for everybody to handle other things. We were talking this in our pre-ramble, how Ghost Fleet, Krix and Signar are just running over the scenes in the big competitive league right now, and that's because they've got some of the best models and some of the best, you know, theme lists out there.
Yep.
And like I said, there's no such thing as balance, but there should be a way to help other factions deal with other factions.
Well, there should be balance, but balance as a meta thing, not necessarily every single thing is balanced as everything else.
Correct.
You should be able to make a list that can jump into the meta with any army and have at least a 50% chance against most lists. And honestly, I think the future of gaming is probably a slower fashion than War Machine's doing it. They're sort of doing their whole hog into the community, which so far seems very good, and I'm excited to see how that goes. But I think it's probably realistically something more like what Corvus Belli does, or with Zoo Infinity, or what Weird does with Malifaux, where they release erratas and they just fix the stuff that needs to be fixed. Like, that's way too powerful. We're going to scale that back and we're going to take a look at how this other stuff goes. In fact, Corvus Belli is great at it. Like, literally every once in a while, they're just like, this product is, well, I'm going to mistake it. Give it a shot like that. Having the community in on the stuff is like next level, and I hope it goes well, but it's a lot of work and a lot of small companies can't do that.
Correct.
Seth, what do you think?
I don't know for sure, but here's something that I've been thinking about, and I think that the war games need to fix the terrain problem. That we have 2D terrain, which is very popular with the tournament players, and we have 3D terrain, which is popular with the people who want fully immersive games. They want the story, they want the fluff. One thing that I know has been floated around is actually making terrain kits that are two parts, where there's a flat mouse pad piece that is the same template as a 3D piece on top of it. And I think that might be one of the things that people start thinking about as far as how to change some of the problems that we're facing in these games.
I totally agree. I actually feel, having looked at a bunch of 40K games on Saturday, terrain is the biggest problem for every game. in one fashion or another. Those guys were not playing with terrain. They were just, there's some terrain around, but as far as a tactical sense, no, it was just go forward and murder each other. Their terrain wasn't affecting the battle so much as just happening to be in the way once in a while.
Yeah.
I feel good terrain should always, in every game, be in the way. It should dictate a little bit of how the battle flows. You know, battle flows a certain... I've had a couple games where battle flowed a certain way because of terrain pieces, and someone had the extra unit to go over to the side, and it gave them a huge advantage. But I feel like that's really hard to teach. I feel that almost has to be taught on a community level rather than from the top down, because they can recommend all sorts of terrain, because the new Steamroller has recommended way to set up terrain, which is great. But you have to listen to it, and the community has to get on board with it and go all in on getting that stuff together.
You did miss one question on there on your list. Was I don't know if you got the updated sheet. It was from Brendan Morris. can competitive gameplay ruin immersion of a game? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely yes.
100% yes.
Yep.
No ifs, ands, or buts. That's a good friend of mine also. He's in the Springfield area, and he started doing... I guess he opened up a restaurant and didn't tell me about. And he's like, after every War Machine tournament, go to his place, you can get a discount on stuff, so on food. So
that's super cool.
And that goes back to the how do you build a better community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
There. All right. So, a couple questions coming up. Here's this one's from Chris Suri. What's your favorite sculpt that's coming out over the next year? This could be for any game.
Oof. That's a good one. I'm actually got one. I'm going to say from Weird, one of their Gen Con specials, are Tanuki that are super cool. I do not know what they do in the game. They're not even from our main faction, but god damn it, I have to have the cute little furry buggers who are drinking beer out of a funnel and have cool little Chinese hats on. It's just awesome. I got to have those models. Gonzo?
How about you, Gonzo?
I'm not really big into the sculpts. I mean, I know a lot of my friends and a lot of people I have on Facebook have, you know, buy models from different companies that are just models to paint. And I don't do that. I buy models to play with because I got to conserve my money. But I am looking forward to one, Old Witch 2, getting a hold of her because that model looks badass, and the Hooch Holler for Trolls. Because that just the picture looked really cool, and you know,
absolutely. Seth, what are you looking forward to?
I definitely want Old Witch to just to paint her off, and there's a few model companies out there that I really enjoy, but I've seen previews of the Borka bust that's coming out at Gen Con, and it will be mine.
Oh awesome. I look forward to seeing you paint it.
Yeah, me too. All right, next question. When will Kador reclaim its rightful lands?
As a Kador player, Congo. Never.
Congo. Oh, yeah.
We will never get our lands back.
As a non-Kador player, never. You never get your lands back.
Mm-mm.
Signar's too powerful.
Yeah. All right, this is another Congo one. Here we go. Are the hosts synths here to infiltrate, destroy humanity, and Meneth John's announcement that he is wrapping up his podcast, is that really just a cry for help because he's locked up in the basement and is trying to warn us? No. And how could we answer anything else? By the way, Congo, we're coming for you tonight.
You're not supposed to tell him when we do that.
Lock the door.
No, we're synths. There's nothing you can do. Just going to delete him later. Gonzo, this one is for you. What are you doing for 40K?
Right now, I am playing in a couple of leagues. Playing in a couple of slow grow ones. I decided to go Imperial. And this time I decided this week I'm going to play my Grey Knights. Especially with the new book coming out. Plus it's a low model count. I don't have to worry about having a crap ton of models like Tau, which is my other army. But playing some Grey Knights, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking to just throw a bunch of dice down and beat people in the face.
John, do you still play Malifaux on the regular? I feel like we've answered this one quite a bit.
Yeah, it's all I'm playing right now. The past week, I've played 5 games of Malifaux.
And then, what do I play from Congo? I play War Machine. I play Pack Boxes. I play mostly, I play War Machine. And then I play whatever people bring to various parties. All right, so here is a good one from Tracy Carter. Not that they haven't all been good, but this is a particularly good one. How do you guys handle people who ruin your gameplay experience? So I just want to be clear. This isn't the game going wrong. This isn't, oh, I didn't know how that... You know, we're not talking about surprise machine of I didn't know what that rule was. Somebody has done something.
There's two ways I've handled it. Two ways. There's the, I've put on my press ganger smile and, oh, okay, thanks. I really had a good time. See you later. Maybe we'll play again. And then there's the other one's like, you know what? I'm not going to play you anymore because there's no reason for me to get worked up over you having a negative game experience. And I just don't play them again.
I've literally stopped games going like, look, let's stop. This is not what I want from this game. You win. I'm going to pack up my bottles and go off do something else. Have a good day. Yep. I don't get angry with them. I keep a nice, friendly voice, and I'm just saying, I'm out. Basically, I pack up my ball and I go home because I ain't got time for that shit. That's probably the nicest way, too, honestly.
Yeah. I find that most of the time, if somebody's giving you a negative gameplay experience, they're having a shitty day, and it actually has nothing to do with you. I've only had one occasion where I had somebody who was a negative play experience just as a person every time, and eventually I just said, I'm going to dodge you now, to their face. And that was what I did. And I dropped out of tournaments, and I just, yeah. The only other exception I have is we did have a new player who was really struggling with the rules. Mm-hmm. And so as a group, we decided to come up with a really specific way to help them. But that's a different type of game of negative experience. That's like somebody who's really having trouble learning the game.
Yeah. And in the dodging people, I have had a guy in my old 40K days go, hey, do you want to play a game? And I said, no, I would not play you if you're the only player left on this planet. And to his credit, he asked me why, and I told him why in a very well-structured and non-cursy rant. Like I said, I was younger then. And he changed his entire ways. After that, he became the kind of guy people didn't mind playing. And sometimes that can help. Just trying to do it a nice way. Don't curse at them a lot. That doesn't help.
No. All right, from Kirk Beck, what is your favorite series of models?
Don't have a series of models?
I think we could talk about faction, we can talk about...
Game, you can talk about whatever you want. Game. How do you want it? Talk it, Gonzo. What are your favorite models?
I really like some of the new Wrath of Kings stuff. The Avatars. The Avatar of the Snake, the Avatar of the... I mean, check out that. I mean, it's a giant elephant with a big old stick with blades on it. I mean, look at that.
That guy's awesome.
That guy is awesome. And the monkey.
Monkey.
They're just cool models. I mean, Panda Bear. With blades.
Stop trying to convince me to play this damn game.
I mean, and they got like a tiger coming out pretty soon, which I don't get to play this game hardly, but still... It's got some cool models. Sorry.
It does.
I'm going to answer two things from the chat. Chris Wells, Mission Barbecue. I don't know yet, but I will next week. I already have plans. And then, are you guys going to get to see me painting on the program? Yes. We have plans so that we're going to all take turns running the show. Obviously, tonight Gonzo's running. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be getting the materials I need in order to stream so that I can actually have very close-up, high-quality video and be able to do painting tutorials as well as the occasional just, like, here's what's going on. Any night that I'm painting on the stream or we're talking about something else, I'll put up photos in the Facebook page so people can see what I've been doing.
You do have a Mission Barbecue in Roanoke.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, I do.
Do it. All right. So main question was.
Those are just two
favorite series of models.
Yep.
My favorite series of models are, God, I don't know. Actually, I really like the X-Wing and Armada models. Those things are super good. Triply so when you get to the fact that they're mass-produced pre-paints, and they all look really great. Seth, what do you got? What's your favorites?
So I'm going to pick two because I'm that guy. One is there's a company called Hero and Villains that does amazing high-scale models. So 75 millimeters and busts, and I'm currently working on a Hamlet that I can't wait to finish. So once I have a painting desk again, since mine died mid-move, once I get a painting desk again, that'll be my main project, and I'll be putting up photos of that. The other company that I think puts out amazing stuff is actually Privateer Press. Brian Dugas, when he sculpts something, I just have to have it. It's so good. Yeah, always been very impressed with their stuff.
Sweet.
All right. Sweet. Gonzo, this one's for you, starting with you. What are your favorite paints to use?
I use P3 paints because they're cheap and easy and I can get them anywhere I need to.
Nice. John.
I actually like Vallejo paints because the dropper bottles are superior.
Mm.
P3 close second, but you gotta use GW because they're the brand name. They're everywhere.
I will fight you to the death on that one. I am not a fan of GW at all. Oh. Or dropper bottles. I made the mistake of going, but P3 is still my favorite, but I know it's the one that I've learned on, so what? I'm pretty biased.
I'm still struck by the don't like dropper bottles. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't like dropper bottles. And P3 bottles have an issue where if you don't open them right or if you don't clean out the inside lid, the plastic connector between the bottle and the cap can break, and then you're stuck with this potential mess.
Yes.
I'll do a video about how to open a P3 bottle, and people are going to be amazed at how easy it is. Dropper bottles clog really badly, and if you go from a place that's very warm to very cool, they clog, or worse, if you change your elevation, I've discovered that they'll actually explode. That the change in pressure will cause the paint to shoot out like a little skyrocket. Not my favorite thing that's experienced I've had this week.
Oh, that's totally fair, because I've actually had them get clogged and explode before. Okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah, so that's why. But I like the P3 line of paints best.
Quickly, have you thought about mixing your own? I've found websites that sell pigments, some of which are very amazing, that you can mix your own acrylic paints out of.
So I'm really hesitant about what paints I use and what brands of paint, largely because as somebody who does two-brush blending and as a brush licker, I want to know what's in my mouth. And
fair.
Come on. Come on.
I'll know what's in your mouth, but...
No.
So...
I know exactly where... I mean...
Woo!
It's a record! So I know that... That's right, new record. I know that P3 has gone out of their way to make sure that their paints could actually pass a food safety test. Though it is not currently... doesn't have the official license. Multiple people have talked to me about how that's their goal, is that every paint is food safe. Vallejo is not... it's non-toxic, but it's not meant to be ingested. So, like, some of their paints are magnetic. Dark Sea Blue, you can stick magnets on.
Whoa.
And it will just hang out. It's an amazing color. So when you hear people saying you can mix your own pigment, between not knowing what's in the medium and the potential of them using true pigment with heavy metals and things like that, I get a little wary.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah. See, I can say everything in 50 words when I could say it in one. Last one from Kirk Beck. Do you have any helpful hints to make your gaming experience better?
Drink more.
Yeah. Not too much. Just a little more.
Go in with the right mindset. Go in with the mindset to have fun, not to win, and it'll help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm with both of those too. Play with people who are your friends, and if you've just met them, pretend they're your friend until they are.
Boom.
Boom.
So there's another one from Kirk Beck. It says, how do you manage gaming and life balance? Poorly? It's hard. If you figure out the secret, you let us know. You just have to do your best. I mean, everyone's free time and life balance is different. I've told my work that, hey, I'm leaving on time one day a week so I get time to go and hobby somewhere. And they've had to deal with that shit. I know it doesn't seem like an unreasonable request. Gonzo, what do you got?
I'm like the same thing. Mondays and Thursdays are my game nights. I may not go play a game at the game store, but I definitely hang out with some friends. And you just got to do it. Hey.
Sorry about that. For me, having a schedule is good. And honestly, going and being a pro painter last year was like the worst thing possible for the gaming balance. I didn't want to play at all. So I think find the game that you like, find a time that you can play it, and make that just part of your routine.
Routine is important. Routine can help you through a lot of problems with time. You just have a routine. You know, this gets done this time.
Yeah.
Well, unexciting at points, but...
We are actually starting to run a little short on time. I think there's actually some questions on here that Seth could probably take on his own show, because there's a lot of hobby questions are like on our next four or five.
Yeah, the next batch is a lot of hobby, yeah.
A lot of hobby. I think probably what we can do is... Let's do...
We can let Seth take a look, see which ones he wants to answer on his own thing, and then next time we can take the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean... Because there's a lot of hobby ones on here. Jason Kennedy, Alan Souls, Gary Smith had three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of good hobby stuff. I know some people had asked about you painting on the show, and yes, we're each going to be covering something different, and we'll be flipping around, and when Seth gets in a normalcy type aspect of his life, he will be doing some painting, and he will be on the big screen. And answering questions about hobby stuff and doing painting stuff, top secret stuff that he's only allowed to show our people. And also he'll be doing we've talked about doing like a mini series for our patron members that we'll get to see extra stuff. I've let him do like extra classes.
But I feel like how to open a Privateer Press paint bottle should be for everyone.
Yeah, I'll make that one public. That's a gift from me to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's Gary Smith had a lot of, there's a lot of hobby ones. I think you would be the person to ask, and I have no clue.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good questions. I was very impressed to see how much you guys responded, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It helps us get out of the gate running immediately.
Very much so. With that said, we will hold off on the rest of them until next time. And I'm going to let Seth take pretty much all the hobby ones, because that's his job, not mine.
It's just forte, sir. Forte. Don't make it sound like a job.
Okay.
Yeah, my job is different now. So, Kevin Bryant has asked the very important question.
Oh, you're going to do that one now?
Yeah. I think so. I think that has to be asked now. We have to know, because it's about to be a new record. Do zombies poop?
100% no.
I would say yes, they have to poop.
No. We're divided.
I'm going to say they only poop if they've got the bottom half. If they're just dragging, no pooping.
Well, it would be
that'd be more like dribbling, wouldn't it? Out of the intestines. Just that's a horrible mental image. I need to get out of that one. Mm-hmm. Cute emergency. Cute emergency. Christ.
Mm.
Yikes. Brain. No. Don't bleach. Cute emergency. Puppies.
Yep.
Okay, which reminds me about dragging half the body. That was like, what was it, the first episode of Walking Dead? I think it was in the first episode. And that the body being half dragged across the ground and stuff. I think that was the part where like some people said, nope, I'm done with the show already. And I was like, it just got started.
Puppies.
So, we ready to do our media section?
Let's do it. I'll stop looking at pictures of cute puppies, and we can do some media section.
Let's do some media section. And we are good. Looks like we're good on this. All right, guys. Go ahead, sponsor. This is yours, man.
Since it was old, that's okay. I did also rewatch an older movie. So I watched Rio Bravo for the first time, hanging out playing war games. And so this movie is old, and it's paced like ass because it's old. And that's not a negative, because that's just how movies were back then. But it was very enjoyable for what it was. A good, solid Western, simple story. The characters were more of caricatures, but again, old movie, you have to judge it through a sort of certain different light because of the age. What I did find out is, if someone else dresses you down, you're like, oh, that's unfortunate. But when the Duke dresses you down, you're like, man, I'm a piece of shit, and this is bad. It's like, man, you know, if someone else said that to me, I'd be like, okay, but if the Duke says it to me, I can't handle that. So it was enjoyable. I mean, the movie we watched before it, I'll review it in a bit after Seth's first one, but it's hard to compare to modern Westerns or even later Westerns, something like The Magnificent Seven or something like that. But it was enjoyable. I definitely suggest watching it. It is a great movie to watch while you're hobbying or something like that, because you can stop paying attention for time because there's not a lot of visually going on. It's a lot of them talking and character interaction, which is cool. So I'll give it 2 shots of Kraken. It's a good, it's a classic, but it's not one you're going to go out of your way to watch a ton.
Nice. So I watched a movie this week called Colossal. A lot of people have, I think, heard about it. It was kickstarted and GoFundMe, and they had a lot of people come in, but it was Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis. And the premise, the way that the show was set, is that this is a comedy where Anne Hathaway is kind of a screw-up, and just happens that wherever she goes and whatever she's doing, there is a monster in Seoul, South Korea, doing whatever she's doing. So she's walking around, it's walking around. If she starts dancing, it starts dancing. When I saw the movie, it turned out that it was not about that at all. It's a very painfully done interpretation of what it's like to be an alcoholic, what it's like to be in an abusive relationship. It was not funny after like the first 10 minutes. So I felt like the bait and switch was pretty bad. So I said, okay, well, how is it as a movie? And I'd say 3 shots of Kraken bad. The characters don't make sense. The plot doesn't make sense. Anne Hathaway does an amazing job acting, as does Jason Sudeikis, except that the plot and dialogue doesn't work. It felt like they were trying to reshoot the movie right up until it came out.
Yikes.
Yeah, not fun. Not a good one.
Yeah, bait and switch in a movie is tough, and if it's from something funny to something absolutely deadly serious, that seems even less fun.
Yeah.
Gonzo, did you actually watch anything this week?
I watched 2 movies this week. I watched Minority Report, I still like. I mean, even after seeing it 50 billion times, I still like the movie. It's still fun. It's still interesting. It kind of plays off things that happen in our society. Well, let's stop this person before they do it, even though we know that he hasn't done it. So they're just like, it's interesting. I still like it. You have to have a few shots of something before you can get through it all nowadays, but it was okay. Yeah. And the other one I watched, and then some people will hate it and some people love it, was Watchmen. I love Watchmen. I liked the graphic novel comic when it came out. And even though they change things from the graphic novel, I still like it. There's some scenes they changed. Aspects you have to change because it goes to a movie. Mm-hmm. I like Absolutely. The dirty, gritty atmosphere of it. I like how it gets, you know, raw. I like how there's a lot of good theories in there, a lot of good things in it, especially, and it's got a lot of good lines. Everything in the movie is really good, except for it's really freaking long and drags in a couple of spots. And you're just like, yeah, I don't care about superheroes having sex.
Nope, not important in a movie. No. I haven't seen the movie, I've only seen clips, and I think Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach was pretty good every scene I've seen him in.
Yes. He is the star of that show. The star of that movie. 100%. Rorschach was incredible. Everything was in it. I've loved that actor ever since that movie. Everything he's done in that movie. He's got some of the best lines in it. You make him feel for him. If you haven't seen it, the ending scene with him in it is incredible. You feel for him and feel for what's going on, and you when you look at it, you're like, yeah, I could see this shit happening.
It's a very deep ending. I've seen the ending scene. I know the ending scene from the graphic novel, which I've read. The ending is top notch. Absolutely, mm-hmm. They did it pretty well.
Yeah. So I mean, you might have to have a few shots of something to get through it because it's long, but I mean, it has a lot of good stuff in it. A lot of good scenes, good lines. The trailer when it first came out, and they were talking about crying for help and stuff and everything. You're just like, fuck yeah, this is what I want.
This is another movie that I feel like I said, I haven't seen it, but I feel like it was probably unfairly given poorer reviews by the critics than it deserved. And it probably hurt its actual sales.
Yes.
It's a good lesson. Don't let the critics decide what you're going to see. If you want to go see The Dark Tower, even though it's getting relatively shitty reviews, go see it. Decide for yourself.
I know, and it looks...
Maybe don't see it full price.
And it looks so good, too, because it looks like it's got some good action scenes in it. Everything I've heard has just been so negative on it. And that sucks.
I've actually heard positive, too. I've heard the full gamut from... Hey, this movie is great. To hey, this movie is a steaming pile of shit. So, I mean, it's going to depend individually. And with movies like that, you have to see them. You can't rely on someone else, because even if that someone else is with you on 90% of the movies, this could be one of the 10%, and maybe you give it a chance. But
I think it's also the problem that it's an adaptation of a loved book series, kind of like Harry Potter. You're not going to make everybody happy.
No. Even Lord of the Rings. There are people who weren't happy with Lord of the Rings. Boggles mm-hmm. my mind, but... Some people just really loved Tom Bombadil and had to see Tom Bombadil, and they didn't, and they were sad.
See, that's the thing. I think if you would have put Tom Bombadil in the movie, it wouldn't have made the movie any better.
No, I agree. It would have made it better for a small selection of people.
Yeah. It would have extended the scene out some more... But it would have wasted... It probably would have been edited because it didn't need to be there. It wasn't mm-hmm. mandatory for the story. Sure, it would have been cool and stuff, but it wasn't like it had to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the other movie I saw this week was actually the 2016 Magnificent Seven. We watched that before Rio Bravo, and man, I really dig this movie. It is not really slow at any points. It moves at a brisk pace. It's got good snappy dialogue, good action. And honestly, only a couple parts are really very Hollywooded up. Most of the rest is pretty brutal, gritty Western, which is cool. Honestly, the first fight scene, the first main fight scene with all seven of them together is just great. But Anton Foucault knows how to do fight scenes, and this is just cool, stylized Western fun. A little unrealistic at points, but not too bad. Definitely worth watching. I mean, Denzel is Denzel, and he commands the screen when he's on it. And I really enjoy all the characters in there, even though some of them don't have too much character. It definitely has, they have enough to get by that you know what they're about, you like them, and has a very interesting look at someone with PTSD, which, you know, is very relevant, you know, how they might react to situations. Definitely worth watching. I'm actually going to buy it at some point. I'll wait for it to come down a little bit on Blu-ray and pick that up, because it's a very enjoyable throwing in a watch it movie.
That's good.
I get one shot of Kraken at most. Seth, did you watch anything else?
Caught up on Rick and Morty. And you... I don't know if you want to have too much to drink during that show, because it goes dark. But it is very good. I consider it a tremendous tour de force of cultural... what's the word we're looking for? Insanity. Their menu, especially a late night cargo. You should get McDonald's to change their menu. And they have successfully done that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go do a little bit of research. You'll see the stories. One of the episodes involves looking for the Szechuan sauce that was part of a promotional for Mulan in like 1998, and McDonald's is looking at bringing it back because of the TV show.
Oh, they said they're bringing it back. That's what's scary, is they had changed their mind and said, yes, we'll bring it back for the thing.
Yeah.
Which, from a standpoint, why wouldn't you? You imagine the sales that's going to happen? Bring it back as quick as
you can. Oh, I'm getting some. I want to know. I never had it, because I try not to eat at McDonald's.
Me too, but it's not bad. I mean, honestly, McDonald's has gotten a lot better to non sequitur a little bit as far as quality of food. It's got a bit better, but sometimes that stuff rips me up, but... Anyways, how good do you said you don't need any drinks during Rick and Morty?
I just think that Rick and Morty is a dangerous one to drink during, because you don't know what's coming at you.
I heard the season 2 finale has the feels.
It really does, in ways that definitely surprised me, because I was like, this is supposed to... I know it's for adults, but even for adults, it was intense.
Oh. Yeah. That sounds like the exact opposite of the TV show I've been watching when I get the chance during meals, and that is the second season of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, not like that.
No, it's... So, every episode ends with, well, I feel like this has potential, but I'm not sure it was good. So
Like eating McDonald's.
Yes, it has potential, but I'm not sure it was good. I definitely feel like you should drink during... So, the ultimate thing that might get me to stop watching the series is I actually had to fast-forward through two parts of the season 2 because I knew what was going to happen, and I knew they were going to make it uncomfortable funny. Not good funny, uncomfortable funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know it's going to happen. Just fucking get to the next scene. Jesus. But I'm going to give it a couple more episodes before I totally eject on it. Because at the end of the day, it is good comic booky schlock fun. I don't like that they got rid of Rip Hunter or Rory from Doctor Who, if you prefer, because I feel like he was one of the stronger portions of the show. Him and Captain Cold, who's unfortunately dead in the series, so...
See, I couldn't make it through season 1. I thought it was going to be great, too. I was like, oh, this looks really cool.
You gotta love comic books, and based on conversations in our pre-ramble, I don't think you like that old four-color comic booky type stuff enough.
I just couldn't get into it. I had to just say, all right, cool, just not my shtick.
On the bright side, it's not as CW-y as, say, Arrow got. So.
Oh, yeah.
Because Arrow got so CW, I'm like, I can't. No more. No more. I give up. I'm out. So that's the media section. We're done with that. Let's hit some trailers and stuff we want to watch coming out here. What movies are we looking forward to in the next couple weeks or so?
I don't even know what's coming out. I mean, because summer's been over, and that's...
Oh, summer's not over. We got some movies left, but it's late summer movies. So,
yeah, I was just saying. Let's see. What's some good...
Kingsman's coming out.
Okay.
Uh-oh. You're not looking forward to it?
I'm just kind of iffy because it's a sequel. Kingsman 1 was great. A lot of fun. Church scene was awesome.
Church scene was super awesome.
So it's kind of like... hopefully it does good. How about that? I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully it does good.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it also. The whole Statesman angle looks really cool. Also, how about the Assassin's Bodyguard with Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds?
I hope it does good. I don't know, because I don't know if they're going to be trying too hard, you know what I'm saying? That we've already seen all the funny bits.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I haven't even heard of this.
Oh, God. Basically, Samuel L. Jackson is a assassin who is the only witness to bring down a crime boss, and the crime boss is trying to kill him. So they hire the best, executive protection asset they can find, which is Ryan Reynolds, who has history with him, as in, you know, he's tried to kill people he's been protecting. And it's just the comic play between those two. It is definitely going to be an action comedy, more comedy than action. One of the lines from the trailer is, he's talking to somebody, he's like, this man single-handedly ruined the word motherfucker for me.
Okay. So, pretty Deadpool and an assassin.
Yes.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, you're right. August actually turns out to be a little more dry in movies than I thought. I might have to hit up the cheap theaters and see what's there. Because nothing's better than seeing a movie on the cheap. Yeah, everything else I see here, this has got to be streaming older. I'm looking at all the movies that are coming out, and there's a lot of stuff I haven't heard of. There's one called Starship Troopers Traitor of Mars, and that has got to be like direct-to-video or some such... Oh, it's animated. Okay. Hour and 28 minutes. I'm sure that's going to be awesome, but... Let me ask you guys. You guys have both seen the Starship Troopers movie, right?
Oh, yeah!
Okay. Am I wrong, or didn't Dina Meyer die in that first movie?
Who's the...
Which one was she? Redhead.
The redhead.
Oh, no, she definitely dies. It's a big plot point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so. She's apparently voicing her actual character, Dizzy Flores, in this movie.
Maybe it's a prequel to the sequel to the prequel.
That would be difficult. There's not a lot of time for a sequel to the prequel. I don't know. This looks like this is going to be awesome. I might have to see how it is.
They reanimate her. They find out how to reanimate her.
Oh, God. That's a plot point. That'll cause all sorts of wonderful acting from Casper Van Diem reprising his role as Johnny Rico.
We do have some movies that are coming out there in the farther future.
Probably better than that piece of shit.
Which is the It coming out. Stephen King's It movie coming out.
Yep.
I'm cautiously optimistic about that.
I am ambivalent in the way that I don't really watch horror, so I hope it's good for everyone who likes it, but I don't really care myself.
I love it.
I love Stephen King. I'm really hopeful about this one, that they're going to do it better than that terrible made for movie for a TV one that always was on like WPWR. Yeah. It looks like it's got potential, if only because Pennywise is actually scary.
Creepy.
Tim
Curry was always creepy looking, but that was just Tim Curry being Tim Curry.
Tim Curry is awesome.
Yeah, love that dude. Creepy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with you, but Tim Curry is great. I just think it's too bad he wasn't in more movies than he was in.
I think you might be surprised how many he was in.
I would not be. I've looked at his IMDb, but I wish he was in more. More? You cannot have enough Curry. Come on, look, whenever I watch like Legend or something, I'm like, man, Tim Curry just fucking killed it in this movie, and no one, and not enough people give him credit because it wasn't a very big movie. Yeah. But he killed it. That is amazing actor. Nowadays it gets, they just motion capture someone, but that's him in a suit. It is off the chain great.
Blade Runner. Blade Runner.
Yeah. So unpopular opinion, I actually do not like the original Blade Runner that much.
Well, which version did you see? The original version, the theatrical release version. There's four.
I've seen three. I've seen the theatrical. I've seen the no voiceover original director's cut, and then the later unhappy ending director's cut.
Okay.
I actually like the theatrical version the most because I feel like the noir feel it brings helps the movie. And that being said, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just don't enjoy it personally that much. That being said, the trailer for Blade Runner looked great. And Harrison Ford, come on.
Well, this is also a big time for remakes because, or remakes of sequels.
Or soft reboots, yeah.
Yeah, because there's also, I noticed they're doing a Flatliners remake.
Yeah. I mentioned that one also.
Revan, I said something about.
I didn't really care for the first one that much, but it's the preview for the second one looked interesting. I'm like, yeah, you know, if I was bored on a Friday night and it was at a cheap theater, I'd consider it.
Hmm. And then Death Wish. I don't know if that's going to be a remake of the original. What was it?
Charles Bronson?
Charles Bronson's Death Wish, but...
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum was in the first Death Wish.
Let's see.
The Death Wish one, it makes me uncomfortable.
Fair.
Just because living in Chicago and having had students who've died to gun violence, it is a... Yeah. Like having a revenge movie set in Chicago right now feels a little tone deaf. So let's see how it goes.
Hopefully they don't. So a good thing on a movie is you can do what The Equalizer did with, I don't know if you saw The Equalizer with Denzel. I don't believe they ever mentioned what city they were in.
Oh no, this is clearly Chicago. They say Chicago.
Oh yeah. So that's a mistake. It's so much better to be in generic big city. So people don't have the same problem you have. It solves a lot of little issues.
Yeah.
I'm also looking forward to that Will Smith Netflix movie.
Oh yeah.
With orcs and elves and in the near future, give me a very Shadowrun vibe, and yes. I'm looking forward to that. That looks good.
Yeah, I finally saw the trailer for that, and I was like, that's Shadowrun 100%.
Oh yeah. I know some people have been like, it doesn't give me the Shadowrun feel. There's no cyberpunk. You don't realize cyberpunk is an element of Shadowrun. It's the fantasy realms, sort of fantasy races, and the magic combined with what's technology at the time definitely gives that Shadowrun feel.
Also, I saw a trailer for it. I guess it was at one of the conventions recently they showed it, was The Shape of Water. The Shape of Water, here we go, is kind of the prequel to Hellboy, is what people are calling it, because it's...
What?
Yeah, it's done by Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
And it's pretty much like the prequel to Abe. The guy that's in the water.
Yeah,
Abe Sapien. And it's kind of a Hellboy-ish prequel? Or whatever you want to go with it?
I'll take a look at that.
The trailer, it's kind of different. You were kind of watching it, and I'm like, okay, yeah. It's a little too happy for Del Toro style. But it definitely, you can feel the vibe from it, and I'll watch it because I definitely like Del Toro. And it's the Abe character, and I love that character in Hellboy. So definitely that's one I'm going to be wearing. And it also has Michael Shannon in it, and I like him as an actor.
Yeah, he got a bunch of work quick, and then he fell off after being General Zod, which was not fair, because I thought he did a fine job.
Yeah.
But, so, talking of that, how... am I still excited for Justice League?
How much Kraken have you
How
had?
Is it possible? I did mention that I bought a full bottle before last week's episode of Pantheon of John, and I have a tiny bit left, so quite a bit. But, like, somehow I just keep hoping against hope. I mean, because Wonder Woman was good.
Yes.
Suicide Squad was decent. I would call it the low side, that good decent. It's definitely watchable. So I'm like, oh, you know, they're on the upswing, and I just keep hoping it's going to be good. I mean, it looks like they've cleaned up some of the problems they had. Cyborg looks a little better than he used to. I still feel like they could have done that better, but I'll wait for the final movie to actually decide. I mean, I'm going to go see it. Superman's mustache. I heard about that.
Yeah, I heard about that too. So I was like, okay.
And on the downside, you hear that DC is basically going to kick out Ben Affleck for the new Batman movie, because I think the new director doesn't want Ben Affleck in it. He's like, I got rid of your script, and that was the whole rumor is he's going to be gone. And that's too bad, because Ben Affleck was a good part of Batman vs. Superman.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping for that. I will definitely see it and review it for you guys, so that... if you don't see it opening weekend, I'll save you some money or help you spend money more wisely.
Yeah. You can take that hit for me. I appreciate that.
I'll take that hit. I mean, come on, I took the hit for Batman vs. Superman. Yikes. But I think that's it. That's an episode, guys.
That is our first episode.
A new record, a full episode.
New record, first episode.
That's awesome. Thanks for everybody who stayed with.
Yep. If you are actually listening and actually physically here, please put your name in the chat window so I can see if you are actually here or not. That way I can give everybody a chance, because we are giving away one free pass to War Machine Weekend.
Holy cow!
I go some jump ship now, but yeah, guys, post your name or post I'm here or something
post
like that so we can see who's
in
here.
The chat so we can see who's here, because if you don't, I won't be able to do it. And y'all look on it too, because I have to make sure that these people are getting, that all the people are accounted for. Because I am only showing 7 people, and there's 3 of us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm showing 4. Grevin 69, Legionnaires, Necro Miles, and Raid Mistress. Also, don't post if you don't want to go to War Machine Weekend, because that would be wasted to give you tickets that you're not going to use.
Correct.
No post yet, and I'm certain the sound is going up, so uh-oh.
Uh-oh, we got no post scenes.
Oh, there we go.
Legionnaires is in.
Let's give a little more time. We're going to give you guys, 60 seconds or so to post from when you hear this. We'll call that 2 minutes our time.
2 minutes our time?
Yeah.
All right, so
we're
I'm looking
for
at
that part.
Give it 2 more minutes. And this is where I feel that Legionnaires will now spam the chat channel so we don't see their name. And
he wouldn't do that. He's an old veteran of podcasts and then listen to podcasts on Twitch. I think everyone else bolted.
I think everybody else is either potty breaking or doing whatever, which is okay. No big deal. Give it 30 more seconds. When my clock hits 8:33... we will give it away. And so far, Legionnaire has it. Legionnaire's in the race. Legionnaire's leading. Legionnaire's got it. Running by a nose. We're going to run around a few more seconds. 8:33 is coming up shortly.
Man, a minute lasts a long time when you're not...
I know.
When you're waiting.
And... Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Wait for it.
Anybody else?
Now.
Anybody else?
Can I put my name in?
Jason Kennedy, you have got
Hold on. Oh, they said chat froze.
Uh-oh. All right, last chance. 1 minute.
Because Miles said that he... Miles Healy said... So, Miles Healy is watching, and he's commenting on the Book of Faces, so...
Okay, so if someone got Facebook...
So he's in, too. Check Facebook. He's the only one to comment on Facebook, so...
Okay.
There's the two of them.
All right,
Grevin 69 or Raid Mistress, if you want a chance, chat now or forever hold your peace.
So we have Miles and Jason.
Yep, Miles and Jason.
Okay, well, thanks, Grevin. Thanks for letting us know. That way we can... We don't...
Oh, Grevin's not interested? That's good. That's good to know.
That's good to know. All right, so we're going to roll a die. I've got a handy-dandy calculator roller here.
Is it going to be even or even odd or high-low?
Actually, I have a thing where I can do 1d2. So, Legionnaire...
It's called a coin. It's called a coin.
So, all right, here it is, right up here. Probably can't see it. It was too bright. Hold on. Lights off.
Ooh, lights spooky. Off.
I probably can't even still see it. But I have a coin here, so... Actually, let's do 1d10 and...
Oh,
Legionnaire.
Miles said that he give it to Jason, he can't go.
Oh, Miles. Jason.
So, Jason.
You've got a free
congrats.
Pass forward weekend. Way to go, buddy. You have... get with me, and I will get the information to Carl. And we will get you set up with a free pass to War Machine
Yay.
Weekend.
Hooray!
Send us your email, or just get a hold of me any way you can, man. We'll make sure that you get that, and I'll get you on the list. It'll be just, I'm pretty sure Carl's going to have, it'll be a normal weekend pass. And if you want to do an upgrade to VIP, let me know. I'm sure we can help. I can talk Carl into upgrading that, help with that, if you wanted to upgrade it to a VIP one. If there's still any left, by the way. So... All right, guys. That's episode one.
There we go. Episode. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to the recorded version, if you are. Hope to see you live next time.
Hopefully, we get more people. More people better. Next week, we'll be discussing what people want to see. Mm-hmm. Also, what people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we will start bringing on some guests. And when Seth finally gets cleared in, he will do some painting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We also don't have any outro music, so we leave you with.
Sorry, right on.
Good night.
Night, guys.
And good luck.
Good night, everybody.